Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the Thursday edition of the Pat Miller Program, and we finally got all of our phone wires laid out just correctly, and Heather back in the studio found out you had to actually put a quarter in the slot before you dialed, and that way it worked. We're talking to Austin Ruse, and Austin is the president of the Center for Family and Human Rights and is the author of a book you really need to get, Under Siege, No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic. We're talking Supreme Court and everything going on, and they're taking up a Mississippi abortion case. Austin, good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the program.
Delighted to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah, so let me ask you, and it matters, but just so you know, I'm not Catholic, but I will tell you, as an evangelical Christian, a lot of my Catholic friends and I find ourselves sitting in the same pocket when it comes to the things and the causes of life. Before we get into this viability and all of that, the conversation we had yesterday, does it not give you a little bit of pause being a good Catholic when you hear Ms. Losi, who also portrays herself to be a good Catholic, and basically says, yeah, I've heard what the Archbishop and a priest say, but I'll be the judge of whether or not I can take Holy Communion. That sounds just a little brash to me.
Well, you know, it doesn't really give me pause because, I mean, quite honestly, that's a part of the book. I mean, there are struggles all around us, both in society and within the church. And, you know, and what, just to your point about being an evangelical, you know, in the work that I do full-time at the UN, and in the pro-life movement at large, I don't know what I would do without my evangelical brothers and sisters. In the book, I call it authentic ecumenism. That is to say, people who will put aside their ecclesiological differences and work on common projects and allowing friendship and love to grow. You know, and the thing is, we're all people of strong faith. I like to say that I have more in common with a hard-nosed Calvinist than I do with a dissenting Catholic. So when I hear about Nancy Pelosi, I go, well, you know, these folks exist, and you know, it's part of our struggle. God called us to this time right now, and He knows what He's about, and He sent the likes of you and me, which is quite astounding.
Am I overreading when I read my Constitution? And I try to read portions of it every week, but when I read my Constitution, I have people who tell me, well, you can't find the right to abortion in the Constitution. There's right there. Well, the Founding Fathers would have really, 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 they're probably flipping over in their graves if they're hearing about state-sanctioned murder of unborn children. I mean, and not only that it exists in this country, Austin, but that it exists as a law. That's amazing to me that this country, that's where we've allowed ourselves to get. Didn't get there overnight, but we sure got there.
Well, you know, in the book, I argue that we are up against a new established church. You know, the First Amendment forbids the government from establishing a church. Well, the government has done that. And I argue that it started with the school prayer decision and then the Bible reading decisions in 1962 and 1963, where the Supreme Court took a side in a long time debate about who we are as a people in the Bible reading case in 1963. They said that the object and purpose of government must be secular. That puts their thumb on the scale of the culture wars and what followed. A couple of decisions on contraception that nobody was really campaigning for, Roe v. Wade, a couple of sodomy decisions in the 90s and the aughts, and then Obergefell in 2015. So I argue that this is an established church. And when you hear little school children down the road being taught that sex is assigned at birth and that boys can be girls and you can be born in the wrong body, these are religious claims that the state is forcing upon Christian children.
In the article that I read that brought you and me together, and again, we're talking to Austin Ruse, president of the Center for Family and Human Rights, and I appreciate very much his making himself available to us on this Thursday. I'm afraid to get too overly optimistic, but with the Supreme Court going to take up this case of reviewing that Mississippi case, which had to do with viability and all of that and how many weeks and yada, yada, is it really possible that Roe v. Wade might find itself overturned? I mean, can that really happen?
Well, it can happen. My worry is that 5-4 may strangely not be enough. You know, it's going to be a hard thing for somebody to be that fifth vote. Now, if the chief goes along, it's 6-3, and therefore it's easier. 7-2 would be even better, but of course that's not going to happen. So right. Is it possible? It is possible. Additionally, my worry, besides simply being 5-4, is what if folks then wash their hands and say, there, we've done it. You know, polling shows that a lot of people support these laws on viability, but don't necessarily want to go any further. And what we see in Europe are gestational limits in abortion and no pro-life movement because of it. So my worry is that they will agree to a gestational limit of 15 weeks, but then the air will go out of the pro-life movement. So I think it's a trepidatious time for the pro-life movement right now to be on the verge of at least partial victory, and we don't know what's going to happen after that.
Or what kind of victory exactly it would look like. You know, I don't know that it would be this blanket, you know, take the tablecloth off and shake it and get all the crumbs out of the way. I don't know that that's what's going to happen. One of the things I want to ask you, Austin, and I've only got about a minute and a half left. I appreciate you being with us. But the one thing I want to ask you is, if in fact Roe v. Wade is overturned, that doesn't change everything, does it? I mean, doesn't it basically, from your understanding, doesn't it take the question of abortion and throw it where I think it belongs, throw it back into the lap of the states?
Well, it very well could do that. I mean, they could determine the personhood of the unborn child, and that would ban abortion through all 50 states. But if they take a partial view, that is just gestational limits, and strike down that part of Roe v. Wade, then, of course, it would return to the states. And some states would keep abortion legal. We know that, New York, California, and some others. But in, I would say, a majority of the states, abortion very well could end up being illegal.
Yeah, well, and I would love for that day to come. I hope I live long enough to see that. Well, listen, I'm sorry we have limited time today. Austin Ruse, R-U-S-E, find him online, find his books, Under Siege, No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic, one of his previous, Fake Science, Expose the Left's Skewed Statistics, and Littlest Suffering Souls, Children whose Short Lives Point Us to Christ. Great readings, all of them. Find Austin Ruse and go to Amazon and get the books and wherever you can get them. Austin, for today, thank you so much, my friend. I'll pray for you. You pray for me.
Will do. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Absolutely. Austin Ruse.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.